So good morning. Hey, welcome to URA Community Church. My name's Ron. I'm the lead pastor here, and it's good to have you guys with us. You got a packet when you came in the door. Some of you did. Some of you got it a little bit later, but it includes a few things that are important. There's a program so that you can track along, some fill in the blanks and things to kind of keep up with the message that you can take home and study and just allow God to kind of stir that up in you. There's, on the back side of that are some announcements and different things coming up. Don't forget the Big Serve that we talked about. That's going to be the last week of September, and you'll hear a lot more about that that's coming up. But then also you got a connection card that we want you to take and fill that out and be ready to turn that in at the end of the service, either in our generosity boxes or if it's your first time, we'd love to have you take yours out to the Resource Center. And we've got a gift for you out there. So just those are a couple of things. And then obviously the offering envelope is just a way that we get to be generous together. And so you can put your gift in there, fill it out, and drop it in the generosity boxes here as well. And that just helps us keep doing what God's put us here to do. And so it's just being able to give back to Him like He's given to us. And so those are some things that I want to make sure that you're aware of. But today we're going to keep on moving in our series called How to Neighbor, and it's really one of these series I think are kind of just one of those vital pieces because Jesus said that there are two things that are most important. The first one is to love who? God, right? We want to love God with all of our strength and soul and mind and body and everything that we have. We want to love Him with that. And then the second is like it, and it's to love who? Our neighbor, right? We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so those are the two most important things, and if we get those two right, listen, I promise the rest of it begins to really fall into place, and life becomes more of what God intended for it to be than and becomes more joyful rather than us just getting momentary happiness through a few decisions that we can make. We get to live that out the way that God created us to. So how to neighbor is important because that's the second most important. That is just like the first, he says. So we've got to know how to neighbor. We've got to be able to do that. And so we've talked about some neighbors of ours and how we can be most effective in neighboring them. We talked about, in the first week, we talked about racial issues and how to reconcile racism and how the Bible teaches us to do that. And then last week we talked about empowering the poor, not just giving them a handout, because a handout will help them for a moment, but if we can empower them, we can also help them for the moment and help them as they go forward. And so there's more to it than just moments like, you know, just giving a few dollars. So we talked about how that works out, and so today I want to talk about something that's really, it's kind of a vital piece of my family, and I'll tell you why in just a little bit, but today I want to talk about orphans, and how orphans should be embraced, and how do we love that portion of our society, that niche of our neighborhood, how do we do that? Because here's the thing that I think we could probably all agree on, is that just because a woman can get pregnant doesn't make her a mom, right? There's so much to that. And so that's not just the only qualification, or at least it shouldn't be, because some aren't. There's addictions that affect them. There are, abuse affects them, and mental disorders affect them, and lots of reasons why they just aren't ready to be a mother. But then, on the other hand, just because a guy can get a girl pregnant doesn't mean that he can be a dad either. And so we need to understand that there are all kinds of circumstances that come into play in this. So it's not just, hey, we can point the finger at somebody for this. It's that we have to accept responsibility in our society that there are issues that cause this, and because of those issues, that one, we need to address the issues, but two, we got to address the consequences and the circumstances that are left in the aftermath of that. Because here's the thing, those issues, that the facts that a girl may not be fit to be a mom and a guy may not be fit to be a daddy have led to this situation in our country where right today, in any given day, there are over 425,000 children in foster care. Almost 500,000, right? That's a lot of kids in our country that are seeking out and in need of that kind of love that many of us give to our own kids. They're seeking that in their own lives. In 2015, I think was the last number that I saw, there were almost 700,000 kids had gone through the foster care system in that year. Almost 750,000 children had at some point had to be removed from their home for whatever reason to make sure that they're cared for. I mean, that ought to kind of mess with us. To think that there are children who, you know, I don't know about you, if you're a parent in here, I know that you love your kids. I love mine desperately, and I can't imagine them being in a situation where they don't have someone to love them and care for them. But yet, that's the situation that these kids find themselves in. In North Carolina, at the beginning of the year, the numbers were there were just over 10,000 kids in our state that are in need of foster care right now. Over 10,000, 10,500, I think, was the last number that I saw. That's a 25% increase in the last 5 years. So the problem's not getting better, it's getting worse. I mean, we can, you know, the opioid, man, it's a pandemic, you know, it's crazy. It's going out of control and different things that are causing that, but the problem's not getting better. And I think that as we look at it as Christians, I think we've got to understand that, listen, that those numbers are staggering, but the numbers of Christians are much greater. So if there's much greater numbers of Christians than there are of children seeking this, then there might be an answer somewhere lying in that. In fact, let me just say that the truth is that God's plan A is the church. The church is God's plan A for helping children that are in need. We're it. And so he makes no bones about that. The word of God tells us that's the answer. And so as we sit here, we've got to understand that we're the solution. And we can't overlook that. We can't just pretend like that doesn't exist, that's not part of who we are. In James chapter 1, verse 27, James writes this. He says that pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. The purest form of religion that God accepts is that we care for orphans, that we care for widows, and we don't let ourselves get corrupted. That's what it should be about. Now, that's not a list for us to check off because, so that we can say, well, we did these things, so now we must be, we've got religion. Because religion isn't what it's all about. It's about a relationship. And so the relationship with God that we have in our own lives is what drives us to care for orphans and to care for widows and to care that we don't allow ourselves to get wrapped up in the things of the world. That's what God's looking for out of us, out of our relationship with Him. We can do good things. Listen, we can do all of those things, but what God's looking for is not that they just happen, but they happen out of the love that He's shown to us that we then show to those that are in need, that we care for them, that we help them. And you know, I don't think it's that much of a stretch for us. Because I think we all have this thing built in us. I've been around some pretty cold people. But I've also seen those cold people be broken down by children and that are hurting, that are in need, that are longing for something more in their lives. And I think we're all just built with this thing that allows us to see needs and to see this hurting and want to do something about it. Listen, we're built that way. You let somebody share a picture on Facebook of a lost puppy, and people go nuts about it. I mean, they'll share that picture like 1,000 times to make sure this puppy is taken care of. Why? Because it's defenseless, it's weak, it's longing. You know, it's cute, yeah. But the fact is that there's this thing built in us that we want to help the puppy. right? We want to save the puppy. Save the puppy. We got to do it. Somebody, save the puppy, right? Save the owl. Save the whale. Save all those things. We want to save them. But don't you think we ought to be worried about saving the children? I mean, come on. That, for me, like, I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, if I had $1 trillion, I would give it all to St. Jude's. Because they show those children who are suffering, and they're not orphans, but they're certainly in need, and they're hurting, and man, it I'm just telling you, I cry every time. I pretend like I'm not, but I do, okay? Because, you know, gotta, oh, man, all that dust in my eye, you know? I kind of play it off. Because it tears me up. It breaks me down inside. And we all do that when we see something weak and helpless and in need, and that something that we should be able to do something about. It's just part of who we are, and it's because God's built that into us to be able to do those things and to care for those who are struggling, to care for the weak and the helpless. And you know, I think it's true that that we all have this desire to want to help, even though we maybe don't do anything right now. I mean, you see the kids on TV and you kind of hear their stories and you're drawn to it. And I think we could do the same thing if it was about children who were orphaned, who didn't have a mom that was there, or dad that was there, or whatever. I mean, I could tell you, you know, the story and show you a picture of maybe a little 3-month-old girl, Sylvia, whose mom is addicted to heroin and who is away at rehab, and they don't know who the dad is, but there's little Sylvia, this 3-month-old baby, who longs to just have somebody hold her, but there's nobody there to hold her. Right? And you hear that story and you think about little Sylvia and you want to do something, don't you? Or there's Michael and James. They're these 9-year-old twins whose mother overdosed and is gone, and dad's in prison, and so they have nobody to care for them, and they'd love to stay together, but unless they find somebody that'll take both of them, they're going to be separated and put somewhere totally distant from each other. And you hear about Michael and James, and you see these two men, and if you saw the face, you would just, like, you'd want them, right? You'd want to bring them into your house. You know, you'd find a way to fit them in there because you want to do something about it. And why are we drawn to those? It's because we hear a name, and we have a face, and we have a story to go to it. And so now we're just, there's something that we're attached with now. But let me just tell you that those 425,000 plus kids all have faces, and they all have names, and they all have stories that should want to be drawn in and to do something about it. It's what God says is the real relationship part of us, is that we care for the orphans and the widows, and we keep ourselves square with Him. They're stories from our society, and they're stories from the terrible sides of our society. Places where people haven't been kept from being corrupted. They've been drawn in, and they've fallen for Satan's sin, tempting, and now these kids are there. I mean, think about what our society goes through and the things that are there that cause this to happen. And who really suffers from the things in our society? Who suffers from broken families and fatherlessness and divorce and poverty and substance abuse and incarceration and homelessness and domestic abuse, gang violence, racism, teenage pregnancy, and human trafficking? The list, I could just keep going and going and going. Who really pays the price for those things? Children do. Children end up paying the price for what adult society ends up doing, where it breaks down and where it no longer functions the way God intends for it to. Children are the ones who end up paying the price. The ones who didn't cause the problem, and the ones who certainly can't be a solution to it. They've become the ones who have to suffer because of it. The fallout is always on them rather than really the ones who who causes it. And maybe that's why God tells us this in the writing of the psalmist in Psalm 82. It says, give justice to the poor and the orphan. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. Rescue the poor and helpless and deliver them from the grasp of all of evil people. We're told to rescue them and to help them, to be able to bring them out of that, to give justice to the poor and the orphan. Another translation says that we are to defend the weak and the fatherless, rescue the weak and the needy. In fact, all of us, we have this sense in us of wanting to help somebody. We've already talked about it. It's this longing to want to see God do something through us to help somebody in need. We want to save them and rescue them. And Psalm 68 says this amazing piece that helps us kind of put this in perspective. It says this about God. And listen to the imagery that the psalmist writes with. He says that he's the father to the fatherless, defender of widows. This is God. That's who he is, whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. Listen, today God may be looking to you and saying, you're plan A. You're it. You're the answer to the prayers of some child who's praying for somebody to love them and care about them. They're not asking for PlayStations and all of that. They're just asking for somebody to love them and care about them, to be able to provide. Whether they're 16 months old or 16 years old, the need's the same, and that's to be loved by somebody unconditionally, that's willing to not hold things against them, not willing to hold their parents' past against them or whatever, but to just love them for who they are. That's what he's looking for, to be able to experience compassion. You know, and that's what God does for us. And he loves us. And so we're to take that love and give it away. You know, I think about this, that so many of us often see those faces and we want to do something, but we just never do. We're not willing to say, God, what step do you want me to take? What is it that I need to do now to help that situation? For me, sometimes it's like I got enough of my own, right? I got my two girls. I got to take care of them. And I got to provide for them. And it seems like, man, I can never fit something else in the schedule for them. You know, there's always stuff to do. And so I'm busy. How can I fit that in for somebody else? How could I love somebody else like I love my girls? How could there be room for one more? There's always room for more. I mean, there's always. Some of you maybe have more than two kids, and so you probably said that. You know, how could I kind of love another one the same? And the third one comes along, and you know what? You love them just as much. It's because we're wired with the love that comes not from our own self, but because we love the way God loves us, that we give it. Maybe God's got his eye on your family. Maybe you're the answer. Maybe he's got something from you. Maybe you're like, you know what? No way. I'm not comfortable with that. I don't know that I could do it. It must not be me. It must be somebody else. God must want somebody else to do that for sure, because I just don't think I can do it. But I think before we discount it, I think we've got to be honest with who we are, with who God's made us, and what he wants to do in our lives to help other people. I mean, we've all maybe experienced it, but we've never gone beyond just awe. How bad? We maybe have been moved, but not moved enough. And so before you say no, before you discount what he's doing in your life, maybe it's just time to pray. Maybe it's just time to stop and take a moment and say, you know, God, this is, I know what I'm wanting right now, but maybe what I'm wanting isn't what you're wanting. And maybe it's time to do something else. But God does something amazing. The scripture says that he takes the lonely and he puts them in families. You know, I don't know about you, but I've had moments in my life where I was lonely. I was either away at college or different things where God took me and he put me into a family of people that came around me and just loved me. When I went away to college, I went away. You've heard my stories, and I didn't go away to you know, for anybody else. I went away for me to have fun. But I found myself lonely in places, and God brought this amazing couple, Dave and Debbie Clemens, and brought them around me, and they just loved me where I was, not for anything else, not what for I could do for them or anything else, but they just loved me. And because of their love and my loneliness, man, that led me to a place where I was able to come into the family of God and experience true love. He moved in a great way through them. See, that's the plan. The plan is the church to be plan A. It's for us to be the ones that love people that maybe society doesn't love. Maybe it's those that we come in contact with who are lonely, who are struggling. You know what we tend to do with that? We tend to push those people away even more. It's just a natural thing because we say, you know what, they're not like me, they're not part of me, I don't have time for that. But the plan A is that we bring those people in. They may not be true orphans in the sense of they don't have a mom and dad, but they may just be that they don't have family around them that loves them and cares about them. And I believe as the church that what we're supposed to do is to bring those people in to our lives and love them the way that we've been loved. To be able to know that we've made a difference in their life because of what God's done in our lives. I think about the story of a family in our church who recently came in, Mark and Taryn Hayes, friends of mine that I met while working at Lowe's and just there slinging paint, and God brought these people into my life and we've become friends. And so as I've got to know them, it was interesting. I said, hey, what made you come to our church? What made you come here and be part of our church? And the number one thing was they were looking for a place where they could have kids, a kids program that would love their kids, because they don't, not that they have kids on their own at this point, they wanted to foster kids. That was their desire. They wanted to love kids that needed somebody to love them. And man, what an incredible story that their sole purpose in finding a church was that they wanted a place that they knew their kids, whenever God brought them into their life, would be able to have a place to learn and grow and be nurtured. And not just because the program's good, but because the people around them would love them as well. And so a little over a week ago, they've been waiting and waiting and waiting for a placement in their home. And a little over a week ago, they finally got the call, after many other calls that didn't pan out, that they got the call that they were going to finally have that child. And so they welcomed in a young man who is 8, and he is part of our You Are a Kids program this morning, but he's back there, and because this is being recorded, I won't use his name, but they like to call him Speed Demon, and so I'll just tell you about Speed Demon. You see, this family loved Speed Demon from the moment he came into their house. It was so cool to see how excited they were about it. And man, it's been an amazing thing in his life. You know, I think the very first day that he was with them, and they can correct me if I'm wrong, it was the first, if not the first, it was the second, but from the very start, one of his very first questions were, hey, can I call you mom and dad? You see, he was longing for that in his life. He was desiring someone in his life that he could call that, not because it was just a name, but because it was somebody who would reach out to him and love him and care for him. And he adopted them before they even had a chance to just foster him, you know? And so this young man just has really blossomed, and Speed Demon was with them. They were grocery shopping. And so here's why this is important. They were grocery shopping in the cheese aisle, okay? I think it was, right? In the cheese aisle, right? So they're in the cheese aisle, and they're shopping for it. They're trying to pick out a cheese. And Speed Demon looks up and he asks this question. He says, will you ever hurt me? You know, there's a lot of questions I've asked in my life. But one question I never asked, and I never had to ask, was, would my parents hurt me? And I think about the 400 and some thousand kids who are wondering if somebody's going to hurt them. Because what they're longing for is somebody that's going to love them. And so this orphan thing is important. It's something very serious that we as the church, as Plan A, have to dig into. Because those are the questions these kids are having to ask and have answered for them. You see, the reason that orphans are so important to me is that my dad he's adopted. He was given up for adoption. And so somebody came and they loved my dad enough to adopt him and to love him and care for him. And because of that, you know, here I am. I think about how different my life could be if somebody hadn't loved him that much and somebody hadn't brought him in. I think about the kids that are affected by this, and what does their life look like to have to wonder, you know, today, is anybody going to hurt me? Is anybody going to love me? Is anybody going to come and take me so I can have a home? If we're going to be good neighbors, then we're going to have to come and we're going to have to get this right. The church is going to have to be willing to make sure that those who are longing to be loved are loved. That those kids who've become the victim of society's issues are taken care of. See, I think our society is really good at being victims. We're just not really good at taking care of the true victims. I think we're really good at finding ways to be offended, but we're not really good at taking the truly offended. And so if we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, we're going to have to step up and do things differently. Now listen, some of you are thinking, man, he is pushing me to foster a child. Man, he's wanting me to go do that. Listen, I'm not doing anything. If you're feeling led to do that, that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit working in you. But here's what I'm saying, that some of us can't foster, but some of us can love those who are fostering. We can support them in their effort to love this young man and care for him. Right now, there are people doing that. They may not know it, but they're doing it by just making sure that he hears the Word of God and that he is able to learn who Jesus is and what he's done for him. We can keep providing a place that allows them to bring their children here to be able to hear the Word of God, that they can bring their families here and know that they'll be loved and accepted. We can do that. We can look outside of here and find other families that are doing it and help them. We can go find organizations that help and love, and we can be mentors, and there's so many ways that we can do it. Listen, I don't know that's where Kelly and I are led. I don't know that that's where we'll end up. I'm praying about it. But I do know that we've always said that our house is open. And though we've never fostered kids, we've certainly opened our doors and let people come and be there. We open our doors always, and not too long ago, a young lady that came to our house who left with this clothes on her back and her two kids and showed up at our doorstep one Friday night with needing a place to live because of abuse. We didn't say, hey, no, well, let's get you a hotel room, or let's, you know, sorry, we can't help you. No, we brought them into our house, and they lived with us for like 6 weeks because we didn't need to foster them, but we certainly need to love them because they were in this situation. And so I don't know what it looks like for you. What is it that you can do that allows you to live out this amazing opportunity that God's given all of us to care for those who don't have people to love them? See, I don't know about you, but, I do know about you. I know about you just like I know about me in this. See, I do know what it's like to be an orphan. You've been an orphan too. You may still be. I don't know what it's like to be an orphan physically and not have that, because I've had amazing parents. But I do know what it's like to be an orphan spiritually. I know what it's like to be lost and separated from my father, and to not have anybody and nobody planning to love me or care for me. I know what it's like to be a spiritual orphan. And all of us have experienced that. That we were separated from our father because of the sin in our lives. That on our own, we were lost and there was nobody to take care of us except for the Father who still loved us. Who, even though we separated ourselves from him, he chose to send his son to us and to die for us so that we could then be reconciled and adopted into the family of God. You see, there's an amazing thing about adoption. That once you adopt a child, they're more your child than your biological children. You can't ever un-adopt somebody. They are more yours than your own kids. You could disown your own kids before you could your adopted child. And so God uses this amazing this picture in the scriptures that we're adopted into the family, that he's brought us in, and once we're there, we're his. And he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross and pay the price for our sins so that we could be adopted, that we could accept that forgiveness and be his child. And so he brings us in with all the love that he has, so much love that he would give his only begotten son for us to be his child. What an amazing thing. I don't know about you. That just kind of jacks me up. And it should excite those of us that have made the decision to accept it. Man, that should be the one thing that says, you know what? I get it. I know what it's like to be an orphan, and now I know what it's like to be a child. A child of the King. And because of that, because I am, then now I need to live that out in this way that he's shown me to live it out. To be able to be a son and daughter of the King, of God. And he decided that, the Bible says, in advance. Here's what Ephesians 1:5 says, that God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. God wasn't pained to give his son to die on the cross for you and me, though it was, he couldn't look upon it because of the sin that it represented. Listen, it gave him pleasure to know that through his son giving his life that you and I could be adopted into his family. And so as we look at orphans in our society, we need to understand that just like we need a spiritual adoption, they need that same love and that same care and that same acceptance into their lives. And guess whose responsibility it is? It's ours. It's the church's. We're the plan A. Nobody else. So maybe today, I don't know where you are. Maybe first thing today that you just need to understand that you can be adopted into His family. That maybe you've never accepted forgiveness for your sins through Jesus' death on the cross. That you've never acknowledged that and allowed yourself to become the part of the family of God. Then today, that's your first decision. Is to just acknowledge that and accept it. Maybe today you've accepted that, and maybe you just haven't lived like a child of the King. And today you've kind of fallen into that corruption that's part of the separation that keeps us from being all that God wants us to be. And maybe today it's just time to confess some things and just set it right. Maybe today it's just time to come and pray for those children who are seeking something in their life. Maybe it's time to come and pray that maybe you're the answer. Maybe it's time to just come and pray for our church as we seek out ways to become better at taking care of orphans and widows. I don't know where your decision lies. I don't know where you are in this situation, but I do know this, that you and I have been given a great responsibility as a church. And it is to do more than we're doing now. And so that's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us to pray and ask God what our part would be in it. It's going to take all of us to pray, and then once we know what the part is, to just get our hands in it and allow God to use it to help us grow and to help His kingdom grow. I don't know what it is for you, but maybe today it's just time to pray. It's always a good time to pray. Here's our next step for today. How are you going to respond to this? How are you going to respond to what God's calling us to do? I'm going to ask you to do this. This week, that you'll just pray. That you'll pray for whatever bold move God may want you to make in your life. That maybe it is to seek out how to foster children. Maybe it is to seek out adoption. Maybe it is to just go and love somebody that is doing it. Maybe it's to go and just be somewhere, and maybe it's to go to school and maybe just mentor some young man or woman that just needs that. So what is it? How are you going to respond to this today? Imagine with me what our community would look like if we would take caring for the orphans and widows seriously. How could we make our community different? God, we pray today that God, that you would begin to work in us. God, from some perspectives, this just isn't the most exciting message. God, maybe we just wanted to hear something else today. Maybe we wanted to hear about how much more we can do to try to make ourselves better. But God, maybe we're uncomfortable with the fact that making ourselves better means that we sometimes have to help make others better as well. And God, when it comes to loving orphans and widows and those that are weak and helpless and defenseless, God, maybe we're just too busy. Maybe we're too comfortable to just want to do something about those needs. God, I pray that you would forgive me when I've looked the other way. God, I pray that you would forgive me when I've just refused to do something about it. God, help us today to just be willing to do whatever it is that you want us to do. God, if it's to welcome another child into our home, then God, you open the door and you make it clear that's what we're supposed to do. God, if it's to just love someone else as they do it, then God, let us do it. God, if it's to be involved in our community and different organizations that help with that, God, then help us. Show us where to be. God, I know sometimes we get so, in the church, we get so upset and we get so worked up over abortion. But then we're not really willing to help when people choose not to do it. So God, I don't know what you want to do through You Are a Community Church and in this. I don't know what that looks like, God. But my prayer is that whatever step You want us to take and however You want us to help, God, that we would just be willing to do it. Whether that's on an individual basis or a corporate basis, God, help us to know, to be able to help. So God, I just pray that You'll just move today. Maybe it's that you need to just work and save someone today from being lost and separated from You, God. Maybe it's that today you just need to bring us to a place of just realizing that there are more people in this world that need our love than just us and our family. So God, just move in this song, God. Just do whatever You need to do in our lives. God, I just feel like it's just kind of open. There's so many things that we need to do and could do, but God, I just ask You to do whatever it is in our lives that needs to happen to draw us closer to You and make us more like You. So God, move in the song in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.